It's been 5.5 years since Amazon.com started selling books on the Internet. In its first week, Amazon sales were about $12,000. Last year, sales exceeded $2.7 billion. They sold not only books, but CDs, videos, shoes, blue jeans, lawn tractors, power generators. But the more Amazon sells, the more it loses. Amazon could almost be Exhibit A among the dot bombs. Last month, the company announced it's laying off 15% of its employees, about 1,300 people in all. Employees who once dreamed of making it rich with stock options are now reviewing severance packages. A year ago, 28-year-old Mike Daisy quit his job in Amazon's business development department. He sold his stock for a modest amount. Now Mr. Daisy's really capitalizing on his Amazon experience. He's talking about it.
The value of Amazon stock will continue to increase so long as there is a maximum level of uncertainty about what the company is. We're laughing. But if Jeff was here, he would agree with me.
Mr. Daisy is starring in his own one-man show about his life as an Amazon employee working for Jeff Bezos. The show is called 21 Dog Years, Doing Time at Amazon.com. Mike Daisy joins us from the studios of KUOW in Seattle. Mr. Daisy, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And 21 dog years translates into how long you actually spent working at the company in human years.
Yeah, that's correct. If most people use that rough rule where it's every year of human life is 7 dog years. But at Amazon, people are so obsessed with the fact that we're all working so hard. So someone in my group actually put up a little chart from the ASPCA that said exactly how many dog years for each human year. And so we would all figure it out and be like, oh my God, I've been here 14. I've been here 17. And when I left, I was at 21.
Now, but why do people work so hard? Isn't it true that a lot of Amazon employees are it's considered to be a company that thrives on the superior motivation of its workers?
Oh, yes. I think that the company has developed a sort of model to make everyone believe that we're still a startup. It's very important to Amazonians that they believe that it's still day one, which is this sort of mantra that gets repeated over and over. And it sounds like something Mao would say, but that's actually Jeff Bezos. It's like his saying. And we all have our desks made out of doors, and we all work and sort of enjoy the fact that we don't have exterior lives because we're around other people who are all believing the same dream so fervently that you can just turn to another person and say, oh, this worker's paradise is delightful. I'm so happy to be working here. And you see other people around you who have $3 and $4 million already, and they don't have to say anything. They just let people do the math.
I want to run a section from the show where you recreate those kinds of conversations.
If I had just been here, God, 3 months ago, I'd be so rich now. And people are serious about that. That's how they feel. I was sitting around looking at porn and working at Amazon 6 months ago. And it leads to these weird things with seniority, because everyone knows how much everyone else is worth depending on when they arrived. So you have these bizarre effects where people are saying, like, well, you got here in August, but if you'd been here in April, it would be an entirely different story.
You began in customer service, the people who take orders and receive complaints?
Absolutely.
Were you good at that? You're a personable guy.
I was terrible. I was probably the worst customer service representative in the history of Amazon, I think.
That's going some based on that.
Yeah, it actually is. I mean, they have especially when I started, they had some great dedicated people because they really train you and put you through the ringer. But the problem is, like any real customer service job, is metrics. In other words, they can measure everything you do. Since they measure everything that you do, you lose that great illusion that you're a great worker. You go in on Monday thinking, hey, I do a good job, and your supervisor takes you over and says, actually, you're number 63. You're actually on this 1 to 100. This is exactly how good you are at your job. So what happened for me is that I cheated. I cheated all the time. One of the things they measure you on is how quickly you can answer phone calls. So I would pick up the phone and I would say, thank you for calling Amazon.com. Can I? And then I would hang up. And I mean, that gives you an incredibly short call resolution time. Like, I was solving people's problems in 7 seconds, 5 seconds. That kind of weighed on me. And that was one of the reasons I decided that, I'm not helping anyone here. I really should get out of customer. I can't do this anymore. I'm just horrible at it.
Mr. Daisy, do you mind if I try something cheap with you?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. If you could be yourself a customer service representative, I'll play a customer, okay?
All right, sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for calling Amazon.com. Can I have your order number, please?
I don't have my order. Well, I mean, I don't walk around with the order number in my...
That's all right.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Well, I ordered 12 copies of a book. It's for like a birthday and like they're not here, you know?
I am terribly sorry. Uh-huh. That is a very unfortunate thing. Do you have the name of the book?
It's called Home and Away, or maybe it's
home
Away from
away.
Home. Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Away from Home,
yeah.
Or Home and Away.
Something like that.
Sir, yeah. I'm not sure why that's late, but I'm sure that it is our fault. I want you to know that I am personally sorry, and I'm going to find your order, and I'm going to take off all the shipping charges, because at Amazon.com, the customer comes first, even if it costs us our shirts. So I will do anything possible.
Well, I
will
want
ship
you to
each
lose
of these.
Your shirt. I mean,
no, it's all right. I will crawl through the warehouse naked through the stacks of books until I find your copies. I'm going to fly to where you are and hand them to you.
I beg you
to forgive me. No, please. I want to do this. I want to help you get your order.
Well, you sound pretty good at this to me, Mr. Daisy.
There's such a difference between sounding like a good customer service rep and then actually following through.
Oh, that's true. You mean because the next day I would discover that you weren't at my doorstep with the books.
I think that that's a safe assumption.
The holiday season was the worst?
Oh, yes. I've taken tens of thousands of calls that start with, "You have ruined my Christmas. You have ruined my life. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you." I mean, people are furious, you know, because you've destroyed their sacred consumer holiday. Very, very upset.
Let's listen to a clip from your show, if we could.
Worst time of the year to anyone who works at Amazon. It's a total perversion of everything we think we believe in. Everyone hates it. Everyone hates it. They endure it like some sort of screwed up war that they didn't ask to be part of. They spend all year getting ready for the next one that comes and washes over them, scrapes the flesh from their bones. Everyone works so many hours that they forget whether they're at the office or at home. You get this bizarre elevated state where when you sit at home, you keep thinking, "What am I doing right now? I'm resting. Resting isn't productive. I could be at work." Okay. And then you walk to work. Or you're on the phones. 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, and every single customer hates you. They hate you personally. Because you ruined Christmas and their whole lives.
Now, Mr. Daisy, one of the things that has made Amazon distinctive as a corporation is that it seems to be so much embodied in this man, Jeff Bezos, who, after all, has been one of Time Magazine's Persons of the Year and is considered to be a charismatic employer. That's the case?
Oh, absolutely. He's incredibly charismatic and very hands-on. Mm-hmm. I mean, he makes a point of being everywhere, walking around. He talks to people. He's very warm, very friendly, and very genuine. I think one of the inherent paradoxes kind of the show and of talking about him is that he's done some terrible, terrible things and made some awful decisions, but he's so personal and so genuinely nice that you can't believe that he's doing these things.
So we should explain, you went from customer service to business development, and I want to play a clip from the show where you describe the interviewing process.
How has customer service challenged you?
I was challenged by writing a mission statement.
Describe your greatest fear.
Snakes are pretty frightening.
The history of back pain.
No, but during Christmas my back.
What can you bring to the biz dev team?
I feel that I've got
a
lot.
Who would win in a fight? A gorilla or a bear?
Now, the suggestion of this, and it always has been, is that Amazon is just not another company. It considers itself a set of values that are different in our world. How do you feel about that now?
I think the core values were fabulous. The values were, we're an egalitarian workplace where each and every employee is valued as owners. We're all owners of this company together. That's why we all have stock. That's why the stock keeps going up. We're all bonded together by that. And they're great values. The problem comes that these values are not able to connect with a company that we've caused to grow so large. Like if Amazon had stayed a small, quirky bookstore and just sold books, well, the stock would never have gotten as high as it did, but it'd be tremendously profitable now,
yeah.
Tremendously. But Jeff has vision. Jeff and everyone at Amazon wanted to make history. And in essence, Jeff took a huge gamble. He gambled that the stock would keep going up for long enough for him to find a way to convert all this and make it actually profitable. He's rolling the dice.
Well, let me share something with you. You write a letter to Jeff Bezos. Read a letter that you wrote to Jeff Bezos in the course of the show that actually has, well, it has some touching and alarming moments. Let's play a clip from there if we could.
Dear Jeff, would it have been so hard to build a cool bookstore and not the world's biggest virtual mall? You were afraid of the money, afraid to define the company, afraid the stock would drop, afraid not to feed the monster you created. Now you've thrown your loyal followers into the maw. When you sacrifice, reveals what you value, Jeff, and you're a bigger fool if you think the market will forgive you in the end. For my part, I think I've safely ruined any chances that I'll be returning to the corporate world. You know me. Why burn your bridges when you can nuke the entire river? I've said goodbye to healthcare, steady paychecks, and social respect over the last year, and more than anything else, I think it was because I was afraid I would turn into you. Thank you for being so crazy that even I eventually couldn't deal with it. I hope you are forgiven. Love, Mike.
Mr. Daisy?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with being Jeff Bezos? So he's, you know, he's lost a little money. He certainly made a little money for you.
Oh, yeah, he made a little money for me. Although, if I divide out the little money I made from him by the number of hours I worked, I'd probably gotten a better deal at Taco Bell. Really, like you do the math and you're like, oh, look at that. I was making $6 an hour. Wow.
And how many hours were you working?
Never less than 50, at least 60 all year round. And then with 50 and 60. And then at Christmas time, it just balloons to, I mean, I don't even know how many hours I was working. Yeah. I was only home to sleep, and I don't know how often that was. I mean, it just breaks the system. I have no idea.
But, I mean, I've got to ask, why should the people taking orders at Amazon.com and now the ones who've lost their jobs have an easier lot in life than people who were unemployed when U.S. Steel closed in Youngstown?
I don't think anyone should expect an easier lot in life. I mean, I think that what happens to those people and these people is that they have very different issues. You lose your job at the steel mill in Youngstown, and you can't see a future because mm-hmm. that's what you did. Meanwhile, now we have all these like dot-com pink slip parties, and it's almost like this kind of perverse carnival. And so there's not a lot of similarity in the two situations because these people aren't going to starve. They're going to go on and find other jobs. They'll be mm-hmm. fine ultimately. But everyone bought into the same dream. And if we don't take the time to examine how that happened and why it happened, we're probably just going to do it again. People revise the past to forget that we all had these crazy assumptions. And if we don't take the time to examine those things, we're just going to do them again.
Mr. Daisy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike Daisy speaking with us from Seattle. His new one-man show is called 21 Dog Years, Doing Time at Amazon.com. And you can visit Mr. Daisy on the web at MikeDaisy.com. Oh my gosh, you don't sell lawn tractors there, do you?
No, I don't sell lawn tractors at all.